And welcome to another episode of All or Nothing. Today, I'm going to share my vocation story, the journey to marriage, and the long wait that it took from feeling forgotten by God to wondering if it was ever going to happen, to exploring religious life, all the things. If you're one of those people out there that are really longing for marriage or you're trying to understand your vocation, this episode is probably for you. Let me start from the beginning. I grew up, as some of you may know, in a very Catholic family, and we were always taught to pray for our future spouse, which is something that I did since I was little. More than anything, I wanted to be married. Maybe I watched too many cartoons as a kid. Marriage was something I always really wanted, and I had that desire in my heart for a family. It was funny, all through elementary school, junior high, and high school, all the boys that I liked always liked my friends, and their best friends always liked me. I was like, what is this? It was very painful. Throughout high school, I didn't really have any serious relationships. I had my little crushes, but it was a very lonely time for me. A lot of my friends had boyfriends, and I started to really wonder, what's wrong with me? Why am I not in a relationship? I see now the hand of God protecting me from some of the people I maybe wanted a relationship with, and I see that wouldn't have been good for me. But at the time, it was very difficult that God would say no. I didn't understand. I was a person of faith. I definitely prayed and would go out with my friends and come home. But I was a bit of an old soul where I wanted marriage and family really young. And I don't think everyone could relate to that. You're so young. Who cares? Live your life. Why is this a thing for you? But I knew that I wanted more, and just the worldly life didn't appeal to me. I ended up going on NET when I was 19 years old, which is the National Evangelization Team, and I traveled all throughout the United States, and that was a life-changing experience for me and my faith. I went much deeper with the Lord, and I really became serious about my vocation and never actually considered religious life until then. I started meeting religious people. Really young nuns that were on fire for the Lord and that were cool, that were serving. And I thought I could do that. It wasn't ever at the forefront of my heart, but I thought, oh, this is something I know we're supposed to consider as Catholics, to be open to God's will and his vocation. I truly believe there is a plan for our lives in the sense that God, in a perfect world, created us for something. But if we miss it or don't choose it, he honors us and will bless our vocation. He doesn't take away anything from us. But I wanted to really make sure I was doing God's will. And that was the very first time that I really met other Catholic men that were on fire for their faith. I didn't know anyone. So a lot of the people I liked prior to that didn't share my faith. I was willing to settle at that time. I was like willing to settle and make it work and hopefully have someone convert to Catholicism or become strong in their faith. But that often doesn't work. It didn't work for me. After NET, I really came to see I wanted to marry someone Catholic who was on fire for Christ. This is not to judge anyone else, but marriage is hard enough. And then having religious differences and not sharing the faith, there's very good people out there. But I just knew for me, it wasn't an option because I wanted to share my faith with someone and raise our kids in a Catholic home and pray together. That was very important. The journey from NET till my late 30s was just so painful. I started almost making marriage an idol. I can really say that, where it was all I prayed for. It was a bit of an obsession. I wanted it so badly to the point that I wasn't praying about anything else. When I was in Catholic circles, I was like, oh, I wonder if my future spouse is here. It was very consuming of me. I think I've met other people who felt the same way. Some had a healthier balance, but I was certainly looking for that. And I realized now, looking back, I can honestly say that there was a part of me that really wanted that because out of brokenness, where I needed and was looking for someone to tell me that I was beautiful, that I was chosen, that I was loved. I was looking for that from a human person, and I did not know who I was ideally to God. And he should be the first identity. He needs to first tell me who I am, that I am loved, that I'm beautiful, that I'm chosen because I'm his daughter. And out of that comes, I can choose someone well. But I didn't know who I was in that sense. I didn't know his love for me. There's many times I felt forgotten by the Lord, and it was a really hard suffering for me, a very deep suffering. As my 20s started to roll around, I worked in group homes counseling children, and then I went to university. I was working full time in the pro-life movement and all that. And during all of this time, there was wonderful men that I really liked, wonderful Catholic men. And it just that God always it was a no. There was hesitation. Even if I wanted it, it never worked out. And I couldn't understand. I continued to wonder, like, what's wrong with me? Not really thinking it could just be that it wasn't the right person or the right time. I started to turn inward and went to a dark place because I started to see all my friends at this point starting to get married. I really struggled with that. I wasn't jealous. I wanted my friends to have all those things. It was a very stark reminder of what I wanted and that it wasn't happening for me. And I also didn't know where I fit in anymore. A lot of my friends were either in relationships, dating, or married with children. I didn't fit into the singles community. And I didn't know if God was ever going to pull through. I became really discouraged and I felt truly forgotten by the Lord. As time went on, I ended up getting this beautiful dog named Pia. And that really did fill a bit of a void for me. I had something to love, someone to love me back. And I came to the point in my early 30s where I was like, I'm okay. If the Lord does not have this for me, I became a teacher. And I thought, you know what? I will pay off my student loan. I have my dog. I'll move back to Prince Edward Island, get a little house, and have a good life. I started to finally let go of that becoming the be all end all of my life. Even though my desire was there, I had to accept. And it is true, when you come to the point where you truly let it all go, then things start to happen. And that is what happened to me. I did end up meeting someone in Toronto, and I had a 3 or 4 year relationship with, and wonderful man, Catholic man, but he wasn't sure of his vocation. I didn't realize how that was more of an issue than I thought. So I was waiting and hoping, wanting to get engaged and move forward, and I wanted to marry him. I truly did. And he just couldn't quite get to the commitment part. So I ended up leaving Toronto. We ended our relationship, and I was like, I can't wait anymore. That was the most painful thing outside of losing my dog. That was the most painful experience I've had. And just trusting that God still had someone for me, the healing process took a long time. Anyone who's gone through a breakup, especially if you think you're going to marry somebody, it is really painful. And then you really think, like, you feel utterly alone. You feel like there is no one. Now, people be like, why aren't you married, Nicole? And I'm like, good question. I don't know. I wish I was. People would say very kind things about me. But to be honest, I have to say, I see now the healing that needed to happen within me. I was really looking for a man to fill a lot of my wounds and do the role that God was meant to do. And I was putting all that eggs in that basket of the relationship. Then I'll be happy. Once I have marriage, a man, and someone to love and fall in love will be what makes me happy. I was completely out of order, and I had to do some interior work where I had brokenness within that the Lord wanted to heal first. He also had some other plans for me to do ministry that I wouldn't have been able to do if I'd been married and had a family. At the time, it was very difficult. After healing from that relationship, it took a couple of years to fully be able to sincerely be open to moving on to someone else. I had someone encourage me to go online to Catholic Match or one of these, and I'm like, no way. I was like, I'm not doing that. And I knew Catholic men in there, and I had crushes on people. Like, I liked people, but nothing ever came of it. In the same week, I was living in Fort McMurray, Alberta. I was teaching. I had my dog, and my mom and a really good priest friend of mine from Toronto in the same week said, Nicole, I really feel like you should go on Catholic Match. And I'm like, I am not doing it. So I waited, and I was like, okay. They were putting a little bit of pressure on me, just lovingly, but saying, I think you should just, who cares? You have nothing to lose. So I was like, all right. So I did a profile. I was a teacher. I spelled education wrong. I did not proofread any of it. I didn't care. I was like, whatever happens, I think this is a joke. Just a little side note, I want to say that when I was in my early 20s, Padre Pio became, I would say, they say that we don't choose the saints, they choose us. I would say he chose me and many others I know. I read a book about him, and I'm not a big reader, but it caught my attention. And I won't read a book to the end unless it really captures me. And he captured me. In the book, it talked about the story of this Italian man who came from New York and visited him in Italy. Padre Pio could read souls, and he had the gift sometimes of prophecy. And this man said, I want to become a priest. And Padre Pio said, no, that's, and he goes, what? He's like, no, you're going to get married. He's like, I'm not. I'm this short Italian man. No one's ever going to want me. And he said, no, you're going to meet a beautiful Italian woman. He gave him some details about that. Sure enough, this man met this woman, as he said, got married, and had a beautiful life. So I said, okay, after reading that, because I was obsessed with marriage, I said, Padre Pio, I'm going to ask that you become the guardian of my heart. Oh, I feel emotional even thinking about that. You will protect my heart. And I pictured this cage with Padre Pio standing in front of it, basically saying, if you want her heart, you need to go through me. He was like my spiritual father, who I really love. From my early 20s on, I always kept him in mind about being my spiritual protector. After a while, I felt like saying, hey, can you let a couple people pass through here? You're taking this job a little too seriously. Because I was like, ah, are you serious? This is taking forever. So I want to say that because I did feel, even though I was on a human level, I was looking around and all these people are having children and I didn't fit in. I wanted to be married. I did look at Sisters of Life. I did look at their order, but I couldn't, as beautiful as it all was, I just had this deeper longing. And I often wondered, maybe that's just because this is what I want so much. Like maybe this is my will. And I really had to like figure that out. Like, if this is just my will, like, Lord, is this your will too? Or am I just not wanting? Am I being selfish? Am I not wanting to be religious? But I knew in my deepest heart that the desire that I know that God put there. So, God, what a cruel God it would be for him to give us those desires and not fulfill them. Yet I know sometimes people have had those desires and not got married. And someone said to me once, and it's there was someone for you, but they've been aborted. And that's a heavy thing to say. All the abortion and all of the things that have happened, some people didn't have their spouses that were supposed to. And it feels like a punishment to those who are like, that's not fair. I've been waiting, and this desire is so heavy. The Lord allows us to have this free will. Sometimes there's natural consequences, not to you if you're the one that's still waiting, but just the way that people chose it affects the way our world was supposed to go and God's perfect plan. I remember someone saying that to me, and I'm like, oh, great. Maybe my spouse doesn't exist anymore. And I've really struggled. But I decided to go on the Catholic Match, and it's a lot more acceptable now, but it was really an embarrassing thing because it's almost like the last resort ditch effort for the desperation of people to go on there because you can't get a man in real life. That's what it feels like. But I also, in all honesty, to meet really good Catholics, you don't get that at your jobs. You don't get that at the bar. You don't, like, where do you meet people like that? So I want to put myself in a position. I do want someone that's like-minded. It's very important to me. My faith is the most important thing to me in my life. A couple people contacted me. I was writing to people in Kentucky, and that was really safe. And all of a sudden, I get this email from this man named Jeff. He lived in Edmonton, which is like 4.5, 5 hours from me. He put a lot of effort into this message to me, and I ghosted him for 12 days after Christmas. I was like, oh my gosh, do I really want to open myself to this? Because he's close by. These other people, it was safe to email people and talk to someone on the phone from Kentucky. It was a little different story when in the next week, I'm actually have already planned a trip to Edmonton, and I go there probably every 4 or 5 weeks to get out of Fort McMurray and go shopping. So I was like, okay, Nicole, what are you going to do here? I didn't end up writing him back. And I was at the point where I'm like, I am not writing letters back and forth and wasting my time. I want to talk on the phone. So I was like, hey, can we talk on the phone? Because I just knew that I would have a sense or connection. Like, it's not just words. It's who are you as a person? Your personality. Is he funny? I need someone funny. I need someone with a good sense of humor. And we talked for 4 hours. And I was like, it was easy. I was really calmed down about this is my future spouse. This is, I was disappointed so many times. So much time had passed that I was really careful about jumping the gun. But I was going to Edmonton, so he asked if he could take me out for dinner. He went to a Japanese sushi restaurant, and my dad was really worried about it. He was like, you are not getting in this car, and you call me when you're there. It was like my good RCMP father, my police officer father, and I had a call throughout the night. And it's true, you don't know what you're getting online. You do have to be very careful. Sadly, we're in a world where you can't just trust someone. But it worked out for me. We went out for dinner. And I just remember this ease. Like, I didn't have to try. And I just could be me. And not that I wasn't myself with other people that I liked, but I really felt the relaxation. I guess I'd given up on. I was at the point where you like me or you don't. I am not trying anymore. Lord, if you want, you have to do it all. I'll put myself out there, but I'm not grasping and trying to make anything work anymore. I'm not going to force anything. I'm over it in my late 30s. And I was content to the fact that I could just have my dog, pay off my student loan, move back to Prince Edward Island and actually really be okay with that, where I could still volunteer, go to adoration, daily mass, and live a life that would be really good and peaceful. So that became, hey, that's an option. Anyway, I stayed, and the next night he took me to a dinner theater. We met there, and I could just feel my body relax. I wasn't stressed. And I was just like, yeah, that peace just came. And that's all I knew. After that, we started talking on the phone and visiting each other. And then it was a year and a half before we got engaged. Wait, we did long distance for over a year and were married 6 months later. So it was a year and a half total. It ended up just being beautiful, but it wasn't what I expected. It was peaceful along the way. Jeff was newer into his faith. He still had a lot of questions, and he still does in some regard, but he was very open and wanting to learn and grow closer to God. I felt like this is the man that God had for me. We got married, it'll be 10 years this July. I will say something in my soul has settled that I've never had before. When you're in your vocation, there's a peace that comes, the restlessness of looking. And I would never want to do that again about going through trying to meet the right person. My 20s and early 30s were really hard trying to figure out. I knew a career wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to raise a family. So I had to start, you know what? I can't sit around here and wait. So I went to university. I became a teacher. I started living. I'm going to share some tips, like things that I wish I would have done differently. That was one of them. I really put my life on hold waiting for marriage, and I really regret that. I didn't have all the healing at that time. I was looking for a man to tell me who I was and trying to do the work that only God could do. As I got older and grew closer to my faith, I realized I had this backwards. God has to be first. There has been a peace and a stillness in the depth of my soul being in my vocation. Is it easy? No, there's days that it's really hard. And I think partly it was because I got married later and no fault of my own. I was used to doing my own thing all the time and making my own plans and all of that. So it became very difficult. It was hard getting married in my later 30s because I had got really used to doing what I wanted. Again, it's just because of that's not what I wanted, but I became independent because I was alone and had no choice but to do things. And I was able to do things that I wanted to do. Obviously, within marriage, that changes to the point where you have to communicate and sometimes sacrifice your desires for others. That's a really good thing for all of us. We're not meant to just serve ourselves and do what we want when we want. It's good to sacrifice. It's been a method for me to grow in holiness. And I see God's plan now in like why I didn't get married young. It wouldn't have went well. I had hurts that needed to be healed. I needed to grow more in my faith. The Lord wanted to prepare me and take me on that journey. Some of us do that together in marriage. You get married young. But for me, it wasn't the plan to do a lot of that work. It was meant to be just the Lord and I at that time. Of course, I'm still healing and growing in my marriage. And I don't think we ever fully arrive. But I will say that it's been really good in many ways and also really hard. It's very challenging, right? But it's a beautiful life and I wouldn't trade it. I do believe that God had me wait all time for Jeff. And there's ways that he loves me that has been so healing to me that I never had before. I know that it's God. He's a man of service, very thoughtful, and thinks ahead, buys things for me. He just goes above and beyond to show me love, making my lunch in the morning when I'm teaching. Like he'll get up early, make my coffee every day. He writes me notes in my lunch kit. Those little things mean so much. Our prayer life has grown together and he's been growing a lot in his faith. He loves to learn. It's been a really beautiful gift to have him in my life. I truly would be lost. And I know that there's some days where I wish he would get lost. And he feels the same way about me. But I can honestly say that it was worth the wait. And I see why God said no to everybody else. I see how their lives were supposed to go and who they married and why and how beautiful that is. I see why I was meant to do ministry and work in the pro-life movement and serve and why this happened as it did. It was hard to wait. The hard part for me too is because I always wanted a family, that never happened for me because I did get married later. That was really hard for me. I'm in a much better place now with that. There's always that desire for me as a woman, and I just had that desire. I wanted to have a big family, as many as God would give, and to have a really wonderful Catholic family. And sometimes that still can be hard, but I also see God's mercy in that and his plan for me. It was just meant to be something else. And there's a silver lining to all things, and I'm trying to bloom where I'm planted. And I feel like I am, and that's why I want to evangelize and do full-time ministry, maybe doing some retreats or conferences later on, like building something. For those of you out there who are waiting for your future spouse, if I can give you some advice, that advice would be to just really surrender that. And you might be like, I've already done that a million times, but truly, any ache in your heart, give it to the Lord And ask to bloom where you're planted in your waiting time. I went to good Catholic parties. I'd be like, oh, is my future husband here? I just didn't live in the moment and enjoy it and have fun. If someone's not coming along, travel, pray about what you're meant to do. Get involved in an exercise class or take a painting class. Build your skills and enjoy your life because there is a chance. Like things, you might have to wait a long time. And so the Lord wants you to enjoy your life. Maybe some of you need to go to counseling. Maybe you're looking for a man to tell you, like I did, to define who I was, my identity, to tell me I'm beautiful, to tell me I'm loved, I'm special, I'm chosen. I was looking to a man, which God will use that person, of course. Like that's been healing for me from my husband. But ultimately, I needed healing first from the Lord, and I still do. But maybe this time, take that time to do some inner healing work, to grow in your spiritual life, to be the best wife or husband, to grow in your faith so that the more you heal, the better your marriages will be. It's just a fact. I know some of you are probably going through a breakup or really wanted to marry some people in the past. And I'm so glad that God said no. It's hard when you're in it because there were times in my life where I did go out on some dates with people who I just was like, I would have to fix in the sense. Like, it wasn't what I want, but it's, oh, Mr. Right now is better than Mr. Right if I have to wait for 5 years. Like, I will settle now. But in doing so, I actually really wounded myself because I got emotionally attached or I just started to see someone. And then I knew deep down it wasn't everything that I wanted. That wasn't necessarily peaceful, but I was ignoring that, ignoring the Holy Spirit. I was just impatient. I didn't want to wait anymore. I'm going to put myself out there and maybe try to justify and rationalize dating people who weren't in the faith or not as serious as I was because it was good enough. It filled a void. But in fact, it was actually worse. And I'm going to recommend that you don't just settle because you're waiting and you're impatient and it's hard and you're lonely. Loneliness is real. Especially if all your friends are married and having families. It's hard because families spend time with other families and other people who are dating, like they're with their boyfriends or girlfriends and their families visiting. And it's like you don't know where you fit in. And I can honestly say what's interesting too is that I still don't fit into those categories because I'm married, but I don't have any children. We still really don't fit in. And one thing I've realized is it's a reminder to me that we're not made for here. And I don't know that I'll ever fully feel at home anywhere or fit in completely anywhere. And I've realized even with marriage, it's a means to become holy for heaven. But even within that, I still need to have a really strong personal relationship with the Lord. When I get my eyes off of him and I look to Jeff to fill something in me, things are out of order. And I look to him to fill something that he can't do. And my home isn't here, despite having the vocation I always wanted. And I'm very grateful for it. And the wait time was all worth it, despite how hard it can be. There's a restlessness in my heart. There's a part of our hearts that are only made for God, and no human person can fill that. Not children, not a spouse, nothing. So keep that always. That is what sustains us through the hard times and gets you through your wounds and loss of family. You're going to lose people in your lives. He is the only person that can actually get you through and give you peace that surpasses all understanding. No human person can do that. And oftentimes, when I look for that, I'm left wounded and disappointed, but he was never meant to fill that. No person can do that. We need to have a really deep relationship with the Lord. I also want to encourage you to pray the rosary, stay close to Our Lady. She's so good. She really helped take care of my heart as my mother in the waiting and ask for intercession of the saints. For me, I had Padre Pio, I had Saint Therese of Lisieux. I'm going to do a little video on my favorite saints at some point and explain why I love them so much. But yeah, I think that's what I would say. Don't get discouraged and don't let Satan get in there. Don't believe the lies that he feeds you that you're not enough and that no one's going to love you or you're not pretty enough, skinny enough. It's really not about any of that. It's about being healed enough. It's about praying enough, becoming holy, and trusting that if the Lord doesn't bring someone to you, he will give you the grace and the strength to get through it. I hope that your heart's desires, if you're listening, is fulfilled. Like anytime someone would say that to me, Nicole, if it doesn't work, God will give you the grace. I just wanted to die in right there. I was like, please don't tell me that. Please don't tell me that there's no hope and that this person may not come along. And for me, like I say, I was in my late 30s when I got married, and it was awful. It really made me turn to the Lord. It brought me to my knees. It forced me to do some inner healing and to really look at some things within myself. So please know my prayers for you. The story, there's so many more parts to this story. If I really shared my entire life and the little dates I went on and little side things, I'd be here for hours. But that's the overview of it all. And I'm probably missing a lot of things, but I hope that's helpful to you. I just also want to share a little bit about who I am, the journey that I was on and I'm still on, the painful weight of my vocation. And I'll pray for those of you too who couldn't have children or who are getting older and really want children, and maybe that won't happen. I know that wound, the pain of the heart, and the Lord will fill that. He'll give you a mission. I feel my mission is to evangelize now and to be with people, to bring love to people, bring Christ to people and to his church. To the Catholic Church, God willing, and I'm just trying to do his will. So I will pray for you. I'd like to end with a Hail Mary. I think I'm going to start ending every podcast with a Hail Mary. She is so good and brings us close, so close to the Lord. So let's pray. In the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Padre Pio, pray for us. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.